I was getting ready for tonight back in the study, and I thought I knew what we were going to talk about tonight. And it's not going to be Potiphar and that's not going to be Potiphar's wife and Joseph. I was sitting back, I was in the study, and the Lord just kept telling me that submission is a decision. Submission is a decision. And so the more I listened and the more he talked about it, didn't have time to prepare notes, of course, but I got to thinking about there are so many situations that we face during the course of a day in our lifetime where it lets us know whether or not we're submitted to God or not. Okay? And I guess probably one of the best examples of when you talk about whether or not you're submitted to God is the election. You found out real quick where the body of Christ, where their submission was. Okay? And it's, when I think about that a little bit, I think about how we submit ourselves to a lot of things every day. For example, all of us have jobs. We submit, we give up our authority, what we want to do for that job, because the job has certain requirements and you have to submit to those requirements in order to have that job. Same thing about owning a house. You have to submit to certain things to own a house, to making a house payment, paying your taxes. You have to submit to that. You have to be willing to do that. You have to give up what you want to do in order to get that house. Okay? Relationships. You have to submit in relationships, and it works both ways. Because if you want the relationship to be sweet, you have to be willing to submit to each other. Okay? And submit to each other simply means that you're willing to look at this other person and say, what blesses this person that I can do to bless this person? Because that's what submission is. Submission is saying, it's not about me, it's about the other person. Okay? It's about the other person. Jesus Christ is the great submitter. Okay? He's the great submitter. And we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. That's where we're going. But I want to also just kind of talk about some of the other people in Scripture who have submitted. For example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar had made a decision that everyone had to worship, okay, his image, okay? And Daniel was part of that also. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego says, I'm not going to do it. We're not going to do it. And so they said, O king, we love you, but we're not going to submit to you on this one. Okay, when it comes to you telling us who to worship, this is an area that is non-negotiable. When you tell us that there is an area that you want us to obey that conflicts with what my God says, that's non-negotiable. For most of us in the body of Christ, God is negotiable. He's negotiable. Because it depends on what we want at that particular time. And if that's the case, we are not submitted to God. If he is negotiable, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, you know, my God is not negotiable. And says, king, if you throw us in that fiery furnace, if we die, so be it. But we are not going to bow down to your image. We're not going to bow. The body of Christ, we bow every day to something that's not in accordance with God's word. Okay? We do it. We do it. We say we're in submission, and part of our submission is the fact we go to church every Sunday. I get up out of my bed. I go to church every Sunday. So I'm submitted to God. No, you're not. You have a habit. That's what that is. It's a habit. You got the habit of going to church on Sunday at this particular time. Okay? Jonah was someone who was not submitted to God. Okay, and this is an example on the other side. Okay, God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach this word because I want to give Nineveh an opportunity to be saved. And Jonah says, no, don't want to do that. So he has to spend 3 days thinking about it in the belly of the whale, okay, of the fish, great fish. He had to spend 3 days thinking about it. Then he says, okay, I'm willing to do what you want me to do, okay? One of the things about submission is that submission doesn't say you have to understand why you need to submit. Submission doesn't say you have to agree with submitting. Submitting simply says that is what is required of me to do. And so if that's what is required of me to do, then I'm going to do it. Okay? Submission, ladies and gentlemen, has a lot to do with your faith. It has a lot to do with your faith. It has a lot to do with your trust in God. You don't submit to someone you don't have faith in. You don't submit to someone you don't trust. Think about that for a minute. What is that saying about us as a body of Christ? Do we really trust the God that we say we do? If we do, then our actions will reflect that. But obviously, it's not reflecting that. Okay? Look in Philippians chapter 2. Pull out my glasses, since I'm not healed yet. Continue to pray for me that the healing will manifest and I can walk in my promised land where my eyes are healed, okay? In Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 1. Paul is writing, if there be any consolation in Christ, and when he says if, this is not an if it's possible, he's making almost a rhetorical statement, okay? If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy. Now, how, Paul, are we to fulfill your joy? And we know that Scripture was written by God, okay? Paul is just God's mouthpiece. So how are we to fulfill God's joy? One, that we be like-minded. Like-minded. We have to have the same mind. The same thoughts, having the same love, the same care for each other that God had for us. Very simple, okay? Being of one accord, of one mind. All of these things have a similar theme running through them. Being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. This one accord, it means to be of one soul is a good way to put it. Of one soul. When I look at Cindy, there's no difference between Cindy and Stephen. Because they're one soul. They're on the same page. They're hooked in with God. They're tapped into God. Okay? So I see no difference. And when you talk about being of one mind, this one mind means you have the same thought. The same thought. Think about it like this. You know how many of you have seen Back to the Future? Okay? Back to the Future is a movie about with Michael J. Fox when he goes back in time. Remember in the opening scene when he goes into the professor's house and they have all of these clocks? And then all these clocks go off at the same exact time. And makes a horrendous noise. It goes off at 8:05. All of them, same exact time. God is saying, we are to be like those clocks. We go off at the same moment. And we go off at the same moment because we are in tune, not only with each other, but we're in tune with God. So when we are going off at the same moment, we're saying the same things. May not be using the words that Barry is using, may not be using the word that Donna is using, but the essence is the same. It's the same. It says that nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You see the word let and the word be done, they look a little different. They're in italics, okay? They're in italics. One way to read verse 3 would be following what we read in verse 2 about thinking, being of the same mind. Think nothing through strife. Whatever thoughts you have, do not let strife be the basis of those thoughts. Do not let vainglory be the basis of those thoughts. Do you see that? Okay, and this is going to really see it in verse 5. Think nothing through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Okay? So when it comes to the body of Christ, because we are like-minded, because we have the same love, because we have the same soul, and we think like a clock, we go off at the same time, we're going to esteem each other first. We're going to watch out for each other before we watch out for ourselves. Okay? That's the whole thing about this verse 3. We're going to esteem each other better than ourselves. It's not saying that we think that we are less than each other. That's not what it's saying. It's what it's saying is that I'm going to look out for you. I'm going to hold you up with God just like I hold up myself. Okay? Now, remember when Cain asked God, when God asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" And Cain says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Read verse 4. "Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We are our brother's keeper. That's what that verse says. We are our brother's keeper. Brothers being Christ. Brothers in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ. We are each other's keepers. That's why we pray for each other, confess the word over each other. Okay, that's all part of it. We are our brothers, sisters. Now, look in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let what mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? What did we read in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4? That's what it's talking about. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Who was Jesus Christ like-minded with? God. God. Who did Jesus have the same love as? God. Who was Jesus of one accord with? God. And finally, who was he of one mind with? God. He told us a lot of times in Scripture, you know, "The things that I do because I saw my Father do them. The words I tell you, I give them to you because that's what my Father has given me." Okay? This is submission, people. This is submission. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." And verse 8 is where I really want to go. "And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus did two things. He humbled himself. He became obedient. Jesus had to make a decision. He had to decide that I am going to set my will aside here in order for me to do the will of my Father. That's what it means when he says he humbled himself. He set his will aside and said, "I'm going to do the will of my Father. Whatever my Father tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever my Father tells me I should think, how I should think, I'm going to think that way." That's what it says when he humbled himself. He had to make a decision. You know, we often look at Jesus and we think that he was the Son of God. The things that he did like rote. R-O-T-E. Okay? Without even thinking about it. No. If that's the case, he could not have been our Savior. He could not have shown us how we can walk as sons and daughters. Jesus had to make decisions. He faced the same things we faced. And yet, he made the decision that I am going to humble myself. That's the first decision that Jesus made. The second decision that he made was, I am going to be obedient. Two decisions, people. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to be obedient. Most of us in the body of Christ, we get part of the first one right. Notice I didn't say we got it all right, but we get part of the first one right. We try to be humble. Okay, we try to set our wills aside and say that I'm going to do what God wants me to do regardless. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Daniel did the same thing. I'm going to do God's will regardless. So we try to do that. And see, we are humble until we are put to the test. Then you know whether or not you are doing God's will. Then you know whether or not you have really put your will to the side and that you are doing what God wants you to do. Okay? That's when you find out if you're really humble. Okay? And then the second part of that is being obedient. And notice the priority. There is no obedience without humbleness. Notice the priority. And the same thing works for us. There is no way we can obey God if we are not humble. If we are not willing to say, God, your will be done, not mine. It just cannot happen. But see, when you live in a world, a Christian world, where obedience is not demanded, when humbleness is not demanded, when you live in a feel-good Christian world, then you're not going to have disciples. You're not going to have disciples. See, we may look around this room tonight and say, you know, we're few in number. So are we really following God? And I say yes. I say yes. Because when you think about what God did in the Old Testament, he used a few to accomplish his goals because there were only a few who were humble. There were only a few who were obedient. Okay? So don't look at what you see here in terms of numbers and think that there's something wrong. There is a whole lot that is right. There's a whole lot that is right because we have people here who are striving to be humble, striving to be obedient. And it's not easy when you live in a world that we live in. And so in verse 8, it says, "And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death." Which means this, all along his walk, Jesus had an opportunity to opt out. He had an opportunity to opt out. You know how you get emails and you say, if you want to opt out of this email and no longer get them, you can just opt out so you won't get any more of these emails. Okay. Jesus could have opted out. He could say, God, I've walked this far. I've done your will this far, but I see what's around the bend. I think I'm going to pass. But he didn't. He didn't pass. And because he didn't pass, because he was humble and obedient, we're here. We are here because of that. Can you imagine what can happen in the lives of others when you are humbled and obedient, when you are submitted to God? Can you imagine the impact you can have on someone else's life? But submission means that I have to get out of my comfort zone. I have to start doing things that interfere with things that I like to do. I have to start doing things that interfere with the things that I want to do. And I have to start doing things that are going to put me on the same page as my Heavenly Father. Okay? In the book of Colossians, when you have a chance, read the book of Colossians. Because in the book of Colossians, you're going to read where it says, let this. Paul is telling you, you have the option of not letting. You have the option of not submitting, is what Paul is telling you. But Paul is also saying, if you let these things be in you, If you let what I'm about to tell you, then you are going to receive the full measure, the full benefit of what God has for you. Because see, when we let God, we are being submitted to God. And see, Jesus is the perfect example of someone who let God. His life was completely an open book for God. God, you write anything you like on my life. That's submission, people. That's submission. And I was thinking about that as I was sitting back there and almost missed it because I, as you can see, I was planning on doing something else, but it was something that God had just really laid on my heart, that submission is very, very important to him. And it's going to be more and more important as the time approaches, because we're going to be faced with a lot of decisions, and they're not going to appear to be significant decisions on the front end, but they're going to be submitting decisions. They're going to be the decisions that will tell you whether or not you are submitted. And the sad part about it, as I'm feeling it, is that some of us are not going to know until after we've made them. And then we find out, whoa, that was the wrong decision to make. And so I encourage you. Make a decision to submit yourself to everything that God wants to do in your life. Just make that decision. You know, you get up in the morning, you say, God, what is it that you want me to do today? You know I have a job, you know I have family responsibilities, but what is it you want me to do today? And you get in the habit of saying, I'm submitting my will to your will. You know I got a job, God, you know I got to earn an income, but I'm submitting my will to yours. And he will tell you what he wants you to do every day. And when you do that, your life is going to change, because you are then going to start seeing what it means to be submitted and seeing how God's anointing and God's glory goes with your being submitted to him and doing the things that he wants you to do in this life.